Yasodhanana braja janaranjana Jamunatiravana chari Jamunatiravana chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari 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 Shnipad Padmahamsa Padivaja Vacharya After that, Sri Srimad is Divine Grace Sri Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Jantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Netai Gaura Premanandi All glories to the sum of the Bodhis All glories to the sum of the Bodhis All glories to the sum of the Bodhis All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Namo Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Vadasthaya Udharai Srimati Bhakti Vananda Swamini Tinamini Namaste Sarasati Devi Gaudavani Pacharini Nirvisesha Shunya Vadi Pastatari Shatarini Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 19, entitled The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha. Today we're going to be discussing text number 24. Vinastasu Sva Mayasu Bhuyash Chavraja Keshavam Ruso Paguhamano Mam Dadrishe Vastitam Vahi Vinastasu Sva Mayasu Vinastasu Swamayasu Bhuyascha Vraja Keshavam Bhuyascha Vraja Keshavam Ruso Paguyamanomam Ruso Paguhamanamam Dadrishe Vyastitam Pahi Dadrishe Vyastitam Pahi Vinastasu Swamayasu Bhuyascha Vraja Keshavam Rusopagu Hamanomam Dadrishevastitam Bahi. Ladies. Russo paguha manomam. Rusopaguha manosmam Dadrishe vastitam bahi Vinastasu samayasu Bhuyascha vraja keshavam Rusopaguha manomam Dadrishe vastitam bahi Vinastasu. When dispelled. Swamayasu. His magic forces. Bhuya. Again. Cha. And. Avrajya. After coming into the presence. Keshavam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rusha, full of rage. Upaguhamana, embracing. Amam, the Lord. Dadrishe, saw. Avastitam, standing. Bahi, outside. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, when the demon saw his magic forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the Personality of Godhead, Keshava, and full of rage, tried to embrace him within his arms to crush him. But to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. Please repeat. When the demon saw his magic forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the Personality of Godhead, Keshava, and full of rage, tried to embrace him within his arms to crush him. But to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. purport. In this verse, the Lord is addressed as Keshava because he killed the demon Keshi in the beginning of creation. Keshava is also a name of Krishna. Krishna is the origin of all incarnations, and it is confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita that Govinda, the personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, exists simultaneously in his different incarnations and expansions. The demon's attempt to measure the Supreme Personality of Godhead is significant. The demon wanted to embrace him with his arms, thinking that with his limited arms, he could capture the Absolute by material power. He did not know that God is the greatest of the great and the smallest of the small. No one can capture the Supreme Lord or bring him under his control. But the demoniac person always attempts to measure the length and breadth of the Supreme Lord. By his inconceivable potency, the Lord can become the universal form, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. And at the same time, he can remain within the box of his devotees as their worshipable deity. There are many devotees who keep a statue of the Lord in a small box and carry it with them everywhere. Every morning they worship the Lord in the box. The Supreme Lord Keshava, or the Personality of Godhead Krishna, is not bound by any measurement of our calculation. He can remain with his devotee in any suitable form. Yet he is unapproachable by any amount of demoniac activities. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mimitam Jnana Tasmai Sigur Venama Mukham Guru Divachalam Pangam Langaya Degiri Mirki Vidamande Sigurum Dina Tanam Paramananda Maravam Sichitanishwaram. When the demon saw his magic forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the Personality of Godhead, Keshava, and full of rage, tried to embrace him within his arms to crush him. But to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. So, it's interesting to note here how Srila Prabhupada brings up the case of the Keshi demon. And compares it to Hiranyaksha here. We know from the Vedic literatures that the Keshi demon symbolizes pride personified. And the materialistic or demoniac mentality is to always be very prideful. Of course, devotees can also be prideful. We can also be very proud of the Achyuta Gotra, which we are a part of, the family of Krishna. And that Lord is infallible. Krishna is addressed as Achyuta, or the infallible one. So, we can also be very prideful that we're engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness and we're a part of Krishna's family. It's like in the material world, people are very proud of their lineage, right? They're very proud of their country, or they're proud of their name. And they try to flaunt it in so many different ways. But that sort of ego or pride is the mentality or the idea or consciousness that keeps one from surrendering or understanding the personality of Godhead. A surrender is blocked by that pride, Srila Prabhupada comments. And just like in the material world, someone may come here for some time. We may stay for a brief time. And then one has to go away. But all the while, one is foolishly thinking that he's the Lord of all he surveys. And in the case here of Hiranyaksha, we're seeing the same mentality. That mentality is that ahankara vimudatma kartam iti manyate, Krishna explains Bhagavad Gita, that under the this misconception of false ego, one thinks oneself to be the controller, when in actuality it's all being controlled by Krishna's Maya, Dakshina, his material energy, or sometimes his internal potency even. But under that false conception, one becomes degraded. It's interesting also here that this demon, although he had mystical powers himself, no doubt, the materialists also have certain mystical powers by their severe austerities and penances. But that sort of potency is quickly destroyed or quickly dealt with by the personality of Godhead, as we'll read in the coming verses, how Krishna just easily dispatched Hiranyaksha. But he was simply playing with him. Okay, you want to have some few moments of fun? So let this powerful demon, who by his austerities and penances became very strong and prideful. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that these severe austerities and penances, which not done in the proper light, because also devotees can become austere, they can engage in austerities and certain penances, but because they're freed from the pride or some egoistic idea and not impelled or compelled by lust and attachment, because again, in the material world, we see that people, they perform austerities and penances for what reason? Because they're compelled by lust and attachment, the bodily concept of life. And they engage in foolish activities which are not authorized, because there are certain austerities and penances that even in devotional life we perform. But those activities are authorized, and they're not meant to torture the body or the material elements or the supersoul within the body. They're authorized, just like, again, so many materialistic-minded people, they may engage in unauthorized fasting or austerities for some material gain, which are Srila Prabhupada comments, they're actually insults to Krishna. They're insults because they transgress the Vedic injunctions. And one may be engaged in these austerities, but for what reason? Simply to acquire some material wealth or fame or whatever. In this case, you're in Yaksha. He was quite proud of his embrace, thinking that he would embrace the personality of Godhead. He had once a very strong body, and thinking, just like the materialists, they think they can control the material energy by their strength, by their knowledge, by their... if you can give me a few minutes, then love to hear you. Just jot down your question and... Thank you. Thank you. So, the demoniac mentality is that let me try to control this energy. Let me try to control my domain, thinking that I'm the center of it. It reminds me of a conversation that Srila Prabhupada had with one disciple, in which he described that there are so many universes. Krishna's created, Ganga Prema might be familiar with this, there are so many universes that the Lord has created. Unlimited. We can't even fathom how many universes there are. And amongst those inconceivably huge universes, there's a tiny little universe that has that's being controlled by this four-headed Lord Brahma. And even within this universe, it's beyond our conception, how vast it is. When you read the descriptions given in the Bhagavatam of the planets and the multitude of living beings within those planets, it's beyond our reason. It's beyond our reasoning. But within that universe of Lord Brahma, there are so many planets, right? So many planets. And in those multitude of planets, there's one planet that we call Earth, that we're living in. And most of us have no experience of going around the world and seeing how remarkable this planet is. So, but within this planet, there are so many countries, there's so many states, there's so many cities, and there's one city, and within that city, there are millions of living beings, all types of living beings. But within those, all of those millions of living beings, there's one particular place where there happens to be one person. And that one person, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, thinks that he's the center. Prabhupada gives this story. It was a very beautiful description how Prabhupada broke that down and helped us, because this is a universal instruction, helped us understand how insignificant we are. and in comparison to the personality of Godhead. So the Lord is so kind that he expands himself, as Prabhupada points out here, he's the origin of all incarnations, as confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita, right? Ramadi Murti Shikalani Amina Tishtan. There are so many incarnations of the Lord. One of them is Keshava, who's a plenary expansion. He presides over a certain planet in Vaikuntha. So the Lord is so kind that he in these different incarnations and expansions, he's manifesting so many wonderful pastimes and engaging in just incredible exchanges with the devotees, as well as even the demons. As Prabhupada points out here, how this demon's attempt to measure the personality of Godhead is significant. Krishna is Yogeshwara, right? He's the master of all mystics. So although he's the greatest of the great, as Prabhupada points out here, that he can manifest himself as the universal form, which again is beyond our conception. Anoraniyam mahato mahiyan. He can also be the smallest. And there are millions and unlimited numbers of living beings, both gigantic, you know, whether it be in the oceans or in the different planets, but even within the atom, the Lord is present there. And this foolish person, as we see all around us, foolish persons, they're trying to embrace the Lord with their potencies, with their arms, thinking that they can control. And this is the demoniac mentality, that they're always attempting to measure the length and breadth of the Supreme Lord. Right? They're always trying to measure, how can I best situate myself in and maneuver in whatever way to achieve my goals, my gratification. But this is not how the approach one approaches the Lord, right? Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhi. Krishna reveals himself when he wants to reveal himself, when he wants to, when he sees someone who's especially desirous or especially devotional, the Lord manifests himself to that person in a particular form that that person may desire even. We were reading some previous purports in the morning, and Srila Prabhupada was describing how the Lord manifests himself into all species. He said plants, animals, insects, human forms. It's in just beyond our understanding. How is it that the Lord can manifest himself within the different species and different living beings within the creation? But this is the position of the personality of Godhead. And it's not understandable by mundane logic. Pantastu koti satavatsara sambra gamyo, right? Vayora tapi manaso muni pungavanam. One can try to exercise his brain, his intelligence, like the yogis. They partake in all sorts of activities of pranayam, drilling their respiration. Or the jnanis, they try to find Brahman by elimination of the mundane. But they can only approach the tip of the toe of the personality of Godhead. Just the tip. After so many austerities and sacrifices, they can only approach just the very tip of the lotus feet of the Lord. So what to speak of the materialistic minded persons who are thinking themselves to be the center. The Lord is beyond them. Maya jivanikach janam, right? Adhokshajam avyayam. He's beyond the range of a limited sense perception. He's covered by a curtain of his deluding energy. And consequently, the living beings are thinking that this is just an ordinary living being, just as I. Just like here, Hiranyaksha was thinking that he could easily control the Lord simply by his material strength. But this is beyond their or that kind of mentality. The Supreme, as Prabhupada points out here, Supreme Lord Keshava is not bound by any measurement of our calculation. He can remain with his devotee in any suitable form. Even he can be within the box of the deity, that the a deity form within that box, as we see sometimes devotees, they may have a shalagram. They may even carry it on their body, on their person. And when the time is there, the Lord comes, makes himself available, and he's worshipped. So otherwise, he's not approachable by any amount of demoniac activities. There has to be some devotion, and then he reveals himself to such suitable persons. So this is a very interesting section, because it helps us understand how to approach the Lord properly. One has to become freed from pride. And that freedom from pride is attainable by the process of bhakti yoga. And that is what we have been given by Srila Prabhupada so nicely and so clearly. If we just simply take up this process of Krishna consciousness and execute it to the best of our ability, then the Lord will certainly be pleased, and our devotional lives will be successful. So, and there. Then you had a question there, Prabhu? I'm fine.
I'm sorry. I wasn't sure. Sometimes you can. So, the first thing was.
Let's wait for the mic here. Just. Although I don't know if that's it's to the benefit of the internet. I don't think the internet is working.
Hare Bol. Hare Krishna.
It is?
I think so. Yeah. Working. So the first question was about people acting not according to the scriptural injunctions, right? And that's an insult to God. So I just kind of want to get clarification, because soul, right, being part of, how should I phrase it? I mean, we have the same characteristics as Krishna, right? Independence being one of those, right? Prabhupada says, yeah, independence being, you know, one of those qualities. And the whole point, we are...
Independence being one of what quality?
We have the same qualities as Krishna.
Right.
And independence is one of those.
Yep.
Right?
In my new form, not the same degree. Same qualities, but not the same degree.
But that doesn't apply to independence, right? How do you define? Yeah. Yeah, in small proportions. But then that's a good point. So are you saying we don't have full independence?
We do.
We do, right? So let's talk about independence right now. We don't have the same power, right? Obviously not.
We don't have the same independence.
So help me understand that. What does that mean?
Unlimited.
Those are words, right? What does that mean? I don't know, Prabhu, you're saying we have seen, but Maharaj is saying it's not. So how do we proceed here?
We do have independence just as the personality of Godhead does. The difference is the quantity. Krishna has unlimited independence. You have a little bit within his energies. You have to act. In other words, you have to act under. Just like you have certain liberties to go outside right now because you're acting according to the laws of the state. You have independence. You can go here, there, anywhere you want to go. But as soon as you transgress those laws, the laws of the land, then you lose that independence. So similarly, Krishna has a certain law of nature, whether it be his material or spiritual energies. You act within those energies, you're free.
Okay.
You're free. But as soon as you act outside of those, then you're subject to some kind of control.
If you've acted, right, then you've already exercised the independence. So I think we're straying. Anyways, I think that's a difficult topic. So let's just say we have independence, right? And the whole point, right, Prabhupada says, everybody was initially in Goloka, which does make sense. Otherwise, some people would just be unlucky, some would be lucky. And then he says, you always have independence, even if you go back, because without independence, there is no love. It's forced. So just applying that same fact here, when people are here, obviously, we're just putting some faith in the words here, because I have no realization. Maybe you guys do. So the whole point, souls are in this material world, is they wanted to exercise independence. They wanted to be Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And Krishna let them, or let all these beings, including me, come here. Then why would he be insulted? I mean, that's the whole premise, right? So I think when we say words like those in a lecture, and the question doesn't pop in your head, I'm just concerned, are we understanding anything, or are we just like, to me it doesn't make sense. Why would Krishna be insulted?
Because you're transgressing the laws that God has instituted.
But he's the one who sent you here. He's like, go, try
no,
it
no,
out.
No, no, no. He sent you, you're here because you chose to do
something. I desired to be like Krishna. I didn't say send me to material world.
You can't be in the spiritual world if you want to be like Krishna.
So that's Krishna. So I'm saying Krishna sent me, right? I didn't say send me to material world. I said, hey, I want to be like you. I don't know why would I say that if I'm in Goloka, if I'm having fun, if I'm Satchitanand. But again, I don't think anybody can answer that. So, but don't you agree Krishna sends us here?
Krishna sends you here,
yeah.
because you don't want to
follow the
law.
Because I desired something, and he says, dude, what you're asking for, you got to go here. We're saying the same thing, right?
No.
Okay.
You desired to enjoy separately from Krishna.
Yes.
So I desired to be like Krishna. Like, hey, whatever I want to be like you.
You wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. So,
but why would I do that?
Why?
Yeah.
Because you have the independence to make that choice.
But why? Independence is okay, but I'm also full of knowledge, right? I have some knowledge.
You have limited knowledge, but you have knowledge.
Okay. So why? What's the point? Like, why would you desire to enjoy independent of Krishna?
You have that because, again, the first point was that you have a certain degree of independence.
Right.
And you have a choice to either serve Krishna.
Right.
And love him, or you can live separately from him and try to enjoy on your own. And that doesn't fit into Vaikuntha.
Okay.
That doesn't fit into Vaikuntha. So where do you go? You have to go to a place where you can live in your delusion condition and think that you're enjoying, when in actuality you're just suffering and you're being, you're subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. That's your choice.
Right.
That's your independence.
Right.
Archita wants to.
First of all, this is one of those subjects that Prabhupada said. First of all, understand where you are, that you're suffering, and make a plan to get out of that suffering. It's not that if I don't understand how the suffering started, then I won't want to get out of it. No, get out of the suffering, and then you will see clearly. Then you will see clearly. Anadi, this suffering has been going on since time immemorial. You're not going to figure it out. And it's not that if it doesn't make sense to me, then it's not real. No, our capacity to understand anything is completely small. This is what we don't understand when we're in a conditioned state. We're thinking, if I don't understand God's situation, if I don't understand such and such, then it probably doesn't really exist. No, it doesn't work like that. Whether you understand or not, these things are going on. Independence is limited, just like you're in this material body right now. You eat. You have to go to the bathroom. You can't say, I'm independent. I'm never going to go to the bathroom. You have to. You're forced. This is the position of the individual living entity. We're forced to do things. And when you realize that, that I have no control, not even over my own body, how can you talk about independence? You're forced. So find out what is that force that's forcing you to do these things that you don't want to do. I don't want to go to the bathroom, but I have to go. You have to go. You're being forced. You cannot say, I'm independent, I eat, I drink, and I'll never go to the bathroom. You can't. You're forced. So when you realize that you're forced to do things, find out what is that force that's forcing you to do those things you don't want to do. That's God. That's God's law. That's God's law. You're being forced to do things that you don't want to do, like die. Nobody in their right mind wants to die. But you have to. Krishna says, for everyone who takes birth, death is certain. So be independent of that. How can you be independent of that? You can't. So the living entity is controlled at every phase, whether you're in the spiritual world or in the material world. But the control that you, when you surrender to Krishna's control in the spiritual world, then you're happy eternally. When you turn away and come to this material world, then you're unhappy. So you make a choice. Do you want to be happy eternally or be forced to be unhappy? Those are our choices. That's the limit of our independence.
Yeah, sure.
One second.
No, let him answer, ask his question. He still has further. That's okay. That's okay, Maharaj.
There's a reason you have such a nice temple and all I see are same faces. There's so many people in L.A., right? And first of all, Prabhu, I mean, your tone was so aggressive. Like, I don't... That was like, you didn't make much sense. Nobody says that I want to go to the bathroom. There's a reason people from colleges are not coming here right now.
That's...
Really?
You know, that's why... You know, why no, not? Why
so just
not
so you guys know, I used to be a youth preacher back in 1996. I gave 8 years of my life, right? And I have done a lot of things. And what at that time I used to do, anybody would ask a question like I see you devotees doing. The first thought is, how do I answer instead of ever understanding? You know how many sannyasis have fallen down? The abuse that happened in Gurukulas. Forget about all that, right? I'm not going to bring it up. All I'm saying is, sometimes we say things without understanding it, and if somebody's asking a question, we all think we have the answer, and then look at your day and the realization. To me, it sounds like blind faith. It's a very simple question, and Prabhupada says, even if you believe in Prabhupada, which I do, I respect him dearly, he says you'll always have independence, even if you go back. He says you can look up the conversations with devotees on morning walks. So it's not like once you go back, you're not going to come back. He says you always have independence, and that's the reason you're here. So, but then what's the point of having discussions if the basic point is not understood? I mean, if you want to be emotional,
well, that's what
that's
we're trying
fine.
To do here. We're trying to understand the basic point.
Right.
The basic point is that you have independence, and that, and you'll, that independence is eternally there.
Right.
That,
so why should
sure.
that be?
So you, let me finish.
Yeah.
So you have a choice whether you can live in harmony with Krishna in the spiritual world and be happy, or you can decide to imitate him and go to a different place because you, there's no imitation up in the spiritual world. If you want to imitate him, then you can come here to this material world and you can live out whatever fantasies you want to and repeatedly go through it over and over and over. That's
that,
your choice.
Now that is a great point, and I don't think I would ever choose to be here if I really understood those two choices. It doesn't even make sense.
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's a
like
fact.
Even a kid wouldn't do that. Like, hey, here's one option.
But again, you have a choice. And they're
I
making,
know.
They're, and met, the majority don't make that.
But why wouldn't they? Right? Don't you question that? Why
would they?
Yeah. Why?
Why would they? Because they're
they're stupid.
He desires it. Desire
but why?
Is there.
As like soon, you.
As like, soon as you desire it, then that desire is fulfilled. Oh, okay, you want to be here, so you can be there.
But that's a stupid desire, right? If I give you
it
two
is.
Options, yeah,
that's
and
a,
so
we
are we
agree
things
with you. It's a stupid desire.
So soul
that's
is
why
stupid?
The majority don't do it. But there's a few foolish minority that does. There's a foolish minority
my
that
question,
does do that.
Shin is that's a very stupid desire, Prabhu.
Is
all
is.
I'm stuck on that question.
It is. It's totally foolish. That's why we're here. We're trying to get out of this foolish condition.
But then how do you bring the synergy between soul making such a stupid choice and also calling it
you have to
knowledge,
develop, you have to
knowledgeable.
Develop, you have to develop your spiritual knowledge.